a secret kept for the ages. Precious truth kept quiet in his heart. All right, hey guys, episode 16 of Gin Talks. We're so excited. This episode is called When God Shows Up. I think this is going to be a really, really good episode. This was Katie's idea, so I'm Caitlin.
I'm Katie.
So I will let her kick us off and talk to you a little bit about when God shows up, also known as God winks.
Okay, God winks is a term that was coined by Squire Rushnell, and it was just the way that he described kind of like God coincidences, but thinking about it in God's economy, that there are no coincidences, mm-hmm. that everything has a meaning, and that he's always there, and that he does show himself. It's just whether or not we see it. The first time I ever, I'll do a huge shout out to Nancy Sutherland. I was a personal trainer years ago, and most of my clients were women of wisdom. They were women older than 60. And I know that God tucked me into a season of moms, mm-hmm. because my mom doesn't live here. And so, a personal trainer, the majority of their job is simply accountability, because someone knows that you're waiting on them and they show up. And so I would sit and listen to their stories. And I sat with women who were walking through brain cancer with their husband. They walked through the death of a mom with Alzheimer's and all the steps of that, with prodigal children. I had one client, and she was precious, and she was so sassy. She would pull up every day, and I'd see her in her car smoking. And she would
before her workout.
Yes, and she came, and I'm like, I saw you. She's like, no one. And I was like, okay, your daughter has told me to tell you, you cannot smoke, you had a stroke. I saw you. No, you didn't. And I'm like, okay, fine. So then just it was such a neat experience. And I know that God was just saying, right now, I just need you to be in a secret place. It just mm-hmm. happens to be a gym.
Yeah.
And listen to the stories and how people navigate this thing called life. But Nancy gave me my first God wink book, and it was mesmerizing. And I started looking for God in the details, and kind of started looking back first in my life, like where are the places that he showed up, and I may not have known it at the time. And when my dad died, I was 21, and we kind of touched on this at the end of last mm-hmm. week, but my husband and I, at the time he was my boyfriend, we were in college and at the end of our junior year, and we had been in the library, which was rare, so nobody could get a hold of us. We had no cell phones, and we decided after that to go get a movie, and so we got a movie, and we brought it back. It was actually a movie we'd both already seen, but it was funny, and so we were watching the movie, and the phone rang, and I answered it because we were in my apartment, and it was the dean of students, and they asked for Jay. And so I gave them the phone, and I'm watching him, and his face just kind of goes sheet white. And I'm thinking he's been kicked out of school for something. Mm-hmm. Something's terribly wrong. And he gets off the phone, and he's about to cry, but he didn't tell me anything. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay. He goes, I got to wait. They're going to call me back. And I was like, I begged him for 15 minutes, and I couldn't. And he would just kept hugging me. And I'm like, what in the world is wrong with you? Well, the next phone call, I'm going to start crying right now. I haven't told this in a long time. Was my brother.
And I'm crying.
And he's, Dad died and told me the story, what happened. But the first phone call was the dean of students, and when they had called to tell them, they just said, you need to make sure she's with Jay, and her brother's going to call her. So he sat there for 15 minutes knowing that my life was going to change on a dime. Mm-hmm. So now to the God wink part. fast forward several years, and I'm newly married in our little one-bedroom apartment, and my mom and I were kind of talking through, what were you doing when you got the phone call? And my mom's God wink in that is that night she woke up at like 1:30 in the morning and sat straight up and goes, what if he never comes back?
and his time of death was estimated to be about 1:30 in the morning, our time, but whatever time it was in Bimini. He was on a fishing trip with his, like, high school best friends. Oh. And they found him the next morning just asleep in his bunk with a smile on his face. And he had just gone home to be with Jesus. He had his first heart attack the year I was born, had a heart attack my senior year of high school, and heart failure, which I didn't find out till later. My freshman year of college, he had gallbladder surgery, and they had to revive him and resuscitate him. And so he died of heart failure at the end of my junior year. He was 63, which is way too young. And 21 is way too young to lose a father. But, so Mom, it's like, what were you doing? And I was said, well, Jay and I were watching this stupid movie called Fletch Lives. Well, my dad's name was Fletcher.
Oh my gosh.
And like God was specifically preparing me going, oh no, he's not dead. To be watching Fletch Lives when you get a phone call to say that Fletch died.
Wow.
And, you know, I was like, and that's speaking my language because yeah. I mean, movies and books and, song lyrics have always kind of been, and so, like, we both just kind of sat there in shock, and I had not seen it at the time.
Yeah.
And so, that was kind of one of the first that when I looked back and I remembered, like, I didn't know what to call it when Mom and I had that revelation. It was just, I was starting to hear him a little bit.
Yeah.
And then, when my leg went over the fence in 2007, I really started to tune in. Like, that's when I dove into the Word, like, as my lifeline. And so my next one, and this is relevant to a movie that's in theaters right now called The Shack. I was reading The Shack, and I don't want to give away the story because it really is one of the most beautiful stories of forgiveness that I've ever read. And it makes me sad so many people are getting caught up in this theological controversy because it was not what it was ever intended mm-hmm. to be. But there is, I had dog marked my page, where I was in the book this day, and that morning in my journal, I had kind of woken up, and I had written, you know, I'm starting to forget my dad's voice, mm-hmm. like what he sounded like. I didn't have any recordings of him, and it made me so sad. And so I'd written that in my journal, and I was like, you know, Lord, would you please let me hear him? Let me remember what he sounds like. And in my mind, you know, I don't know that I realize I do it, but I think I have in my mind the ways that I think that he's going to answer it. So I'm mm-hmm. thinking I'm going to get a dream or,
yeah,
I don't know, something like that. But that afternoon when I picked my book up to start reading it, there is another daughter, not the daughter that they speak primarily about, but the other daughter's name is Katie. They call her Kate in the movie, but her name was Katie. And the page I was on was a memory where the dad sang Cook-a-Katie to her, and in that instant I could remember my dad singing it to me when I was little.
Oh, wow.
So it's so not how I would have pictured him answering that prayer, but I literally had to go back to my journal and be like, did I really ask that today? Like, let me remember his voice. Like, I don't know how you're going to do it, but probably in a dream. Like, I'd written all of that, and for it to be that day and to really tap into it. And so I was so thankful that, you know, that's what journaling, one of the things journaling has done for me is that I can go back and see his faithfulness all mm. along the way. And then I kind of started going on a treasure hunt in the Bible, looking for, you know, were there times that he showed up and either people realized it or didn't realize it. And I found a story, and please don't go theological on me like this is not what happened. Because there's no reference in here to him figuring out any of it. But David's running from Saul, and there's a story where he and his troops or his people, his band of brothers that are running with him, go in, and there's a priest, and they're hungry. And the priest says, well, all I have is the bread of his presence. And David goes, okay, fine. And so they eat the bread of his presence. And I'm like going, okay, God's saying I'm here.
Yeah.
And then he's like, okay, we don't have any weapons. Oh, my goodness. Like, and he goes, well, all I have is the spear of Goliath. And so I'm going, like, you conquered Goliath.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and he doesn't get it. They take it, they've eaten, they move on. And the story's over and he moves on to something else. But I'm thinking, in those moments, they were total God winks. He's like, remember that I'm here, and remember what you did with the stone. Mm-hmm. You conquered the giant. You don't have to run. You don't have anything to be fearful of. But he missed it.
He missed it.
He missed
it. He totally didn't.
So I'm like, okay, God, you know, where are the times in my life where you are going, I'm giving you the bread of my presence, and the weapon that I gave you to use to fight your giants.
That you've already defeated.
Yes, like, remember my faithfulness. Remember my faithfulness.
Because it's so, like, there are so many stories about when I've, like, I've noticed mm-hmm. God winks and remembered things he's done. But, yeah, I, like, wish I could see, like, a movie of my life and see when are the times that I missed the God winks.
And he, in the book, he talks about making a timeline of your life and calls them signposts mm-hmm. and really going back to the different turning points in your life and where you, you know, mile markers where if you go back and look, you can find his faithfulness and that he really was there.
Even when you didn't notice yeah. it. Yeah, that's so true. I've definitely, as I've gotten older, of course, I've, like, noticed things.
Like what?
That happened. Well, one thing in particular, I did, this was a recent God wink, so this wasn't something I missed, but I feel like there's definitely a lot of those. But this one actually has everything to do with that book. It's very, like, I'm not even going to say a weird story because it was totally a God thing, but I have one of my best friends from college, her best guy friend from college and her best, I mean, from high school and her best friend from high school's boyfriend. So this guy and her friend had been dating for years in high school. Friend's name is Allison and the guy's name is Rivers. They wouldn't care for me to share the name. So, and my friend's name is Mary Allen. So Rivers, about a year, probably more, yeah, beautiful name. Mm-hmm. I never got to meet him. But more than a year ago, he was in just kind of a messy accident, and he got shot in the head. Mm. So he was not really able to communicate or be very alert for, I guess, about a year. He was in the hospital fighting for his life. And the girlfriend, Allison, she sat with him, like, every single day. I hope I don't start crying again.
I'm going to start crying.
So that's the part that got me, is that she was, like, in college and could have been doing whatever she wanted, but she sat with him every single day, just kind of waiting for him to wake up. And there were times, like, he did wake up and communicated with, like, I think he would talk a little bit or write, like, he wrote on an iPad, "I love you," to her. And so fast forward about whatever, I guess like a year after his accident, he was not doing well at all. And Mary Allen would text me, even if we wouldn't talk a lot, she would text me like when she needed me to pray for Rivers. And so for like several weeks, she was like, you know, it's really not looking good. Can you please just keep praying for them? And I was like, it's going to be fine. And she was like, honestly, I don't think he's going to make it, but, you know, we're praying for a miracle. She said, but I just am prepared. So kept praying. And he didn't, like, there was one time they thought, you know, okay, this is it. And he made it through. And I woke up one morning and I was going to work in Florence, which is where he was in the hospital. And as soon as I woke up, God told me, you've got to go see Mary Allen today. And I was like, oh, whatever, you know, that's going to be a lot of time in my day, like, whatever. So I didn't get ready that morning. I remember I was like, I don't have any makeup on. Like, I'm not going up to the hospital with all these people I don't know. Like, I remember thinking all these, like, stupid, selfish thoughts. And on the way to work, I, like, thought about it, but then I was like, oh, whatever. So I forgot about it. Well, at lunchtime, she texted me and said, and this, we hadn't talked. I hadn't told her that God wanted me to come see her because I forgot about it. And she texted me and said, hey, can you please pray for Rivers? It's just like really bad right now. And I was like, yeah, I will. And again, just kind of blew it off. when I left work, God, like, reminded me again, you need to go see Mary Ellen. And so I texted her or called her, maybe. I can't remember. Maybe I called her. And I was like, hey, is it okay if I come see you? Or will they let me come up there? And she was like, I don't know if they'll let you come in here, but I would love to see you. And she said, I just want you to know. I'm gonna cry. She was like, I've been keeping it together, but if I see you, then I'll probably just cry. So I just wanted you to know. And I was like, okay, that's okay. So I drove up to the hospital. Ugh, this story just, like, gets me. And I parked, and I'm walking in, like, went to the bathroom. And I, like, round the corner, and I'm just, like, smiling, bebopping along. And I had seen a girl that I know from college, like, run by crying. I was like, I wonder who she's here for. And so I walked up, and Mary Ellen was walking towards me. And so I'm, like, walking down the hallway towards all these people that have been, like, sitting waiting for him. And I'm like, hey, how's it going? And I'm just, like, super happy and, like, huge smile on my face. And she just shakes her head. And she said, he's gone. And I was like, what? And he had died, like, right before I got there. And I just, like, hugged her and she cried. And I had never met Allison, his girlfriend. But I knew all about her because that was, like, my best friend from college's best friend from high school. So we knew about each other. And I hugged her, and I was like, you know, it's nice to meet you. I'm sorry that we're meeting like this. And I said, I actually don't know what to say to you right now. And she was like, I thought that you always have something to say. Like, I thought that you always have, like, some wisdom. And I was like, I'll think of something, but right now, you know, I'm just sorry. And
I'll think of something.
I'll think of something.
I was like, okay, just a minute. I'll think of something.
I was like, I don't know what to say to you right now. I mean, what do you say, you know? And so we all kind of talked and hugged and whatever. And she wasn't crying or anything. You know, she had had plenty of time.
She cried a long time.
And she had cried, yeah.
Year.
But then I heard her, she said, like, to River's grandma, she was like, I don't know, like, what to do.
It becomes your everything you do. Which yeah. Is when there's, just when my mom was sick and dying.
Yeah.
Like, it becomes your The nurses were my family,
yes.
The hospice care, and that's just what I did, and it does. And that was only 4 months.
Yeah.
So I can only imagine
a year.
That becomes your rhythm.
Yeah.
Your new normal.
So, yeah, she'd had plenty of time to prepare, you know, but as she started talking about, like, it, like, hit me, like, that was, like, her boyfriend, and, like, I thought about, like, my fiancé, and I just, like, had to look away, because I was like, I don't know what I would do, you know, I would just, like,
no one does.
You know, like, I would have the wind knocked out of me. And she told me about, so his grandpa, River's grandpa, was, like, a very well-known, like, city councilman in the Florence area, like, obviously years ago. And he had died on the same day, however many years ago, that River's died. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I told her, I said, that is such a God wink. And she, like, told me a few other things that had happened. And, you know, I was like, that's a God wink. And she was like, I've never heard anyone say that. So I told her about that book. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I haven't read it in its entirety, but I've read some of it. And I was like, it's really good. And I kind of, like...
And God winks aren't exclusive to some people. Like, we all offer these. And it's just our eyes opening to see them.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, we don't see them, and someone else is there to see them for us and tell us. And I'm very sure that that was, like, my job that day. And it was a God wink to me because he had been telling me to go to the hospital all day long. And I didn't know Rivers was going to die that day. And I just, like, I mean, he died, like, literally minutes before I got to the hospital. And he didn't know me and I didn't know him, but, like, I had, like, a strong tie to his friend and my friend, you know, and she needed me that day. And so I forgot about this part. I'm just, like, remembering a new God wink. I got in my car and I left, and I Googled that book because I was like, I'm going to mail.
Google's our friend.
Yes, Google's our friend. And I was like, I'm going to mail Allison and Mary Ellen that book. And I actually looked on Amazon and I was going to order it, and I was like, okay, I'll do it later. So that night, Caleb and I, my fiance, walked into Barnes & Noble, and it was so weird. On the right, I don't know how your Barnes & Noble is wherever you are, but when you walk into our Barnes & Noble in Huntsville, it's like on the right, they're usually like...
Shout out to Barnes & Noble.
Yes.
I really hope that a bookstore doesn't go away eventually.
I know. I love Barnes & Noble. I could just sit there for hours. But I walked in, and there's like a section where there's like yoga books or like learn to speak Italian. And then there's like books that are like on sale or something that are like, check this book out. Walk in, immediately on my right, When God Winks. Mm-hmm. The book is there.
That is, because this is not a new book.
That's not a new book. And I've never seen it on that shelf. I mean, I like gasped. And Caleb was like, what?
Gasped.
I was like, I really did. I was like, and Caleb was like, what? And I freaked out and like tried to like tell him. And he was like, yeah, that's cool. Because he was just like, what is going on? And I told him the whole story later. So I picked up two books, and they were, like, on sale, and what? And so I, you know, shipped them both the books, and it was, I know that it really meant a lot to them, but I, like, hope they know it wasn't me. Like, that was all God. And that whole day, I was just like, wow. I mean, he just winked at me all day long.
Like, he really does like us.
Yeah,
and speaks our language at exactly the right time that we need it. Because a lot of the things that he's spoken and the way that he's spoken to me, some people don't get it. They're like, because it wouldn't speak to them.
Yeah. Well, even like that, I mean, I don't think Caleb was nearly as freaked out. I was like, the book is on the shelf. He was like, okay. And I was like,
no, it was like a Godwink book.
A Godwink about a Godwink book. Like, this is crazy. But that whole thing was just, it wasn't about me. It did, like, none of that did anything for me. Like, I think a lot of times I look for God winks. It's like, for me. Like, oh, that was like at me. That God wink was at me. Mm-hmm. And this was like, this is not about me. I didn't get any, like, fulfillment. Like, you know.
Sometimes it's just being aware of His presence. We can say it and we can believe it. But it is in those moments experiencing it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not always something huge, catastrophic,
no,
mesmerizing.
Just...
Deanna, who sings the intro to this song, mm-hmm. she has a version of Amazing Grace that she wrote. And there's one line in it that she says, Amazing Grace, we're so used to it that we look right through it.
Mm-hmm.
May grace become amazing to me again.
Oh, that's good.
And I just kind of put Jesus' name in there, or I don't want to ever become numb,
yeah.
or take it for granted, or take Him for granted. And I'm always like, when that happens, those are amazing moments. I had one with my mom when she was sick, and I had been in the hospital that night with her, and that morning in my journal I had written, let me see your glory. And that's not typical language that I write in my journal. It's usually run-on sentences, mm-hmm. and spelled wrong,
yep.
and not very theological.
Right.
But I was like, I need to see your glory today. And so I had gone running from where we were. I'm from Memphis, so I knew the neighborhood, and I went running that morning, and I saw a housekeeper in her white uniform, an older lady, walking down a long driveway, and about the time she hits the trash cans, mm-hmm. I'm crossing, and so I stop, and I'm like, let me pull the trash can up for you. So I pull the trash up, and we just start talking, and long story short, I asked her what her name was, and her name was Glory.
Oh, wow.
And
oh,
I was like, I know, I'm like, how specific can you be? So I ended up writing a blog post about that and just called it Trash for Glory. And how I could have missed it. Again, I went back to my journal because I almost didn't to check myself. Like,
yeah,
did I really
ask that?
Like, I know that I thought it, but it helps me when I go back and look, mm-hmm. that I wrote it down, because I probably would reason myself out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I'd written Show Me Your Glory that morning.
Oh, wow.
And he did, in a person.
In a person, yeah. And not
literally
how he thought he was
going
to do it. Yeah.
When she said her name was Glory, and I said, what did you say? She goes, oh, honey, Glory. And I was like, that's the most beautiful name I've ever heard.
Okay, just telling the story now in church on Sunday morning, there was, you know, when they say to meet somebody you don't mm-hmm. know, there were two people in front of me. It was a daughter and a mother, and they had thick Spanish accents. Mm-hmm. So I said, "What is your name?" And she said, "Gloria Alice." And I said, I butchered it. I didn't hear that at first. And she's like, "No." She kind of laughed. So finally she says, "Gloria Alice." And I'm like, "Oh, that's beautiful." Her mom was Gloria.
Oh,
and I just remember sitting there going, I know,
yeah, like taking me back, uh-huh. yeah. And then you're telling the story now. That really is incredible. Oh man, they're really everywhere. I feel like he just like sprinkles them throughout our day if we really pay attention. And I'm guilty of not always paying attention.
Another that's not silly. I mean, it was huge. Had a. These necklaces that were made out of bottle caps were really mm-hmm. popular for a while. And they would be like a Coke bottle mm-hmm. or a beer cap, whatever you saw in the back. But someone had given me one as a gift, and I was going through the Subway line. And my sandwich artist literally just fixated on my necklace. And so she's making my sandwich, moving along, never takes her eyes off my necklace. And it was like, oh my goodness, I love your necklace. I love it when people make, like, treasure out of trash. I mean, on and on and on. I'm like, oh, it was a gift, you know. And I left, and when I left, I'm like, oh, shoot. I was supposed to give it to her. So I went home, and I didn't go back. But the next day, I start negotiating with God. And I'm like, this is like your friend. Like, do I really go to the hospital right now? And I was like, okay, God, I'm just going to pull back in Subway. It was a totally different time of day. And I was like, if I really heard you right and I was supposed to give it to her, then she'll be there.
Yeah.
So I park. And I'm about to go in. She walks out with a tray of food to eat herself. And she sits down. And I said, ma'am, I made... She goes, I know you had the necklace. And I took it off and I handed it to her. She never looked at me again. She kept her eyes on the necklace and said... And I said, God told me to give it to you. And she's like, thank you so much. I mean, loved it. And that was the end of the story. I mean, and that's nothing about me.
Yeah,
but
it was nothing for
I really
you.
Did tell you to give her the necklace.
Yes. Yeah. Because you have no idea what that meant to her.
No.
And you may never. But it was just
Yeah, it was just enough
happen.
Going, okay. And he's going, just keep listening to the whispers. And yeah. Bill Hybels writes a book about God whispers. And just kind of his term for it.
Yeah.
And yesterday I listened to a podcast, which was another confirmation. But it's called thepurposehotel.com. And I'm going to put all this in the show mm-hmm. note. And while we're talking, I'm going to look up that the guy's name. But there's a podcast that I listen to often, and it is called the Faith and Lecture Series. And the one that I listened to yesterday was called Faith and Image. And I want to get to it so that you can see it correctly or hear it correctly.
ThePurposeHotel.com.
ThePurposeHotel.com. And this
I've
is
never
kind
heard
of
that.
Well, at the end of it, he said that's kind of his Goliath. And what he meant by mm-hmm. Goliath, it was like his big dream that is like, if you don't show up, God, it is
not
going to happen. But the guy's name, oh, shoot. You talk for a second while I find his name because I don't want you to miss this.
No, yeah, I'm excited to hear about this. But I if you're listening to this, we would love to hear about your God winks. And you may have never heard that term before. And you may not have ever known like what a God wink is, and you might think that you've never had one, but we promise you have.
Okay, found it. Jeremy so Cowart. And the reason it was so, I hope that you will go and listen to this podcast, mm-hmm. The Faith and Image.
Okay.
But Jeremy Cowart, mm-hmm. if you don't go to Faith and Image podcast, if you just go to his website, I'll put this in the show note. Because somebody asked on it, when he's telling his story, which is, you can't see it on a mm-hmm. podcast, but he's actually, he's a visual artist.
Yeah.
He's telling his story in visual imagery while he's telling you. So that's mm-hmm. the part I couldn't see, but just listening to him was enough. And he often talks about in it the whispers in the night and the thing that God says to him in the middle of the night. And so I'm trying to tune in. Or the quiet places, he said, when I'm driving in the car and I can't look at a screen.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm so I tried this yesterday. I went to a doctor's appointment and I put my phone up and I'd mm-hmm. forgotten to bring a book. So I'm like, I'm going to just sit in the quiet place every person in that waiting room, and I'm not condemning this because normally I do it, was on their phone.
Yeah.
People were chuckling at themselves, mm-hmm. and they were interacting, I guess, but I'm like, what happened to the days where in a waiting room, everybody's either talking to yeah. a loved one, they meet someone new, or, and now we're all in our own little isolated mm-hmm. moments. But it was a quiet moment that made me recognize, I don't want to miss the people around me. I don't want to miss the God whispers the God, around yeah, me.
Because so often he does give us those whispers and winks through people.
Yes.
I think that he does that more often than not.
So, we gave lightning round.
Yes, our
gosh, it goes fast.
It does go fast.
Okay, first question was to tell about a place that when you were young in your neighborhood or your home that you would go to be alone, and why did you go there?
Mm-hmm. I guess I usually went to my room, like most kids, I guess, to be alone. But I also, if I wanted to be alone, would go to my trampoline, which is really random, but it was just like, I remember it was like underneath, like not directly underneath, but near like a few trees in my yard. And we lived like right by the highway at that time, but for some reason it was like my quiet alone place. And I would either go like write a story or practice my gymnastics or make up some crazy something that I would tell my brother later that we had to go play. So I don't know. It was like a very early play, like very early on, my creativity was like showing, but I didn't know it. So, but I would go there to do it, which is really odd. And I've never thought about it until right now. So yeah, trampoline, I guess, in my room.
Okay. I went down the street from where I lived. There was a synagogue.
Mm-hmm.
And driving down either side of the street, you didn't see it. There were trees around it. But I would go back, and there it was the most peaceful place, just the property. And I would walk around there, and I would sit back there. And I really, until we thought about this question today, had not thought about that in years.
Yeah. That is cool.
And then the last one was, how did you decide what to wear when you were little?
So I was like, I tried to be such a tomboy when I was little. I mean, like, some kids are like, they are tomboys. I was like, I tried to be. Because I think it's because I had a brother. He was younger than me. But, I was, like, obsessed with my dad. I mean, like, I loved my mom, and I always hung out with her, and we are best friends. But I went through a stage where I was like, I'm trying to hang out with my dad all the time. Like, mom, you're cool.
So
but
if I wear pants and a man's shirt, she's going to make us more
and
the same.
I remember, I vividly remember, gosh, I think, now that I'm thinking about this, I'm like, I was a weird kid. But I would wear a hat backwards and carry around a baseball glove and a baseball and chew gum. Like, and I would throw the baseball up and down. And I was like,
picture the Bad News Bears.
I mean, I remember saying to my mom and my brother, gosh, what was it? It was something like, I'm like, I dress like a girl at school or something. And then I come home, I dress like a boy. Like, I like said something weird, like
Deep yeah. Thoughts by Caitlin.
Deep
Shadow.
Thoughts. I was like, this is what it was. I'm part girly girl, part tomboy. And I was, like, serious. And I would tell him, like, yeah. So take it or leave it.
Hashtag.
Hashtag tomboy life. And my mom was like, okay, cool. I'm sure if I, like, went to a therapist and told them all this, they'd be like, oh, wow, we got some things to
tell
unpack.
Me about your
childhood. Tell me about your childhood. What was going on? Did you want to, like, attention from your brother? Like, what was going on? Yeah. Anyway, so
Where were you wounded?
I would always wear very weird stuff, probably up until like last year. I've always like tried to express myself with clothes, and then it hit me like, you're not an artist with your clothes, so just stick to the words.
I think you're beautiful. You are like a walking portrait.
And finally, like, I do love clothes, but I love, like, I guess just average clothes. Like Toya, our friend Toya, like,
oh, she's got some great,
she's like a walking canvas.
She is.
And that's her thing. I tried that for a long time. Not my thing. So anyway. Okay, what about you?
My mom would lay my clothes out the night before and I just put them on.
Yeah.
I don't remember exactly when that stopped. Probably went on way too long.
Isn't that sad?
And then all of a sudden,
Yeah, I don't remember the last.
The last. I was thinking of that the other day, and our time's almost up, but you never remember the last.
There is a YouTube video out there of a mom that kind of gives a talk about the last.
Yeah.
The last time they sleep in the bed with you.
I always think of my little brother, because he's 10 years younger than me, like my child. But I, like, started crying the other day. I don't know why. And I was like, I don't remember the last time I picked him up. Like, when he was a baby, like, when was the last time I picked him up and put him on my hip? Like, I'll never remember. And I was like, no.
Because we don't know it's the last.
You don't know it's the last. And then,
like, first we document a lot of times.
Oh, that's sad.
Okay, well, we hope that you will, this will heighten your awareness of just God speaking to you and all around you, and God winks, and all the different things that we reference we'll put in the show notes. And we hope that it will also encourage you to have a conversation with different generations.
Yes.
We need each other.
Yeah, bridge that gap and talk about things like God winks and other fun stuff.
We have much to learn from one another. Absolutely. We are better together.
Have a great day.
And peace out.
Bye.